Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you something out of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." I said, they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken this to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now I want to read you that 20th verse out of the Amplified Classic. It says, "And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it." Holy Spirit, help me today. And I ask that you anoint our ears so we can hear. They went out and preached. What do you think they preached? They went out and preached. I don't really like that word preach. I don't like somebody call me a preacher. I like to say he's a talker. Preach just has, and I know that's all right if you do. That's all right, but. You know, I'm tired of getting preached at. I just want somebody to talk to me, man. Just give me some answers. Just tell me, man. And we preachers can evade the issue more than a politician, man. You know, we just can talk around anything. And you get done and you don't even remember what the question you asked was, you know. But what do you think that they preached? Well, they preached the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, God loves you. But that's not the gospel. It's the truth. How many glad God loves you? But that's not the gospel. The gospel is He loves you so much that He sent Jesus for you. You with me? The gospel is the good news. The good news is that Jesus came and went to the cross for me. He died for my sins. That's good news to me. He took my place. And on his way to that cross, he took a beating. He took a beating more severe beating than anybody ever in the history of the world has ever taken. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that because that beating, every devil in hell wanted to kill him before he went to the cross. But they couldn't take his life. And so he took a beating so severely that those stripes he took affirm and complete my healing. They've taken my diseases. Not because I deserve it, because he took that beating. By his stripes, I've been delivered from sickness and from disease. He went to hell for me. How many would like to just go to hell just for a little while, just see what it's like? Folks, he didn't just go to hell. He did something while he was there. Colossians 2:15 says he disarmed, I love that word, he disarmed principalities and powers. Am I too loud? If I'm too loud, turn me down. And if you turn me too low, I'll talk louder, okay? You might ought to turn me down because I'm probably going to get loud. Says he, after having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them. I'm telling you, every devil, every demon, every fallen angel, they all went after him with the full force of hell, with everything they had, and he disarmed them. And after he was done kicking the snot out of them. See, now why did you think that? You got dirty minds. After he disarmed them, after he made a public spectacle of them, after he triumphed over them, God raised him from the dead. That's good news to me. Because he conquered death for me. Oh, I still have to face it here. I still have to shut my eyes here. But Paul says now, because I believe that to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. That's good news to me. Good news to me. Did you ever notice that it talks about people falling asleep? Paul uses that word, falling asleep. That's just how he describes it, because he doesn't say you die. Whenever Lazarus was dead in the tomb and they were all freaking out, and he said, he's not dead, he's just asleep. See, you just shut your eyes, but when you open them, bless God, Jesus is there with you. That's good news to me. Because of what Jesus did, nothing can ever again stand between me and my Heavenly Father. Because of what He did for me, the good news is nothing can stop me from having a relationship with Him. Because the good news to me is because of what He did, nothing can ever separate me again from God's love. Whew. That's good news, folks. And the good news for you is it's for you too. It's for you too. All you have to do is receive it by faith. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. That's good news. And Jesus said, go tell everybody this. You with me? He said, go tell everybody with me. Now, this might be different than any sermon you ever heard before. I hope so. Because I want, we read this stuff and we read it, and it's just like we just read it and it just goes like this. But before we walk out of here today, I want you to know Him and His resurrection power in your life. Jesus said, He said, now you go tell everybody the good news. But I like what else it says. It says that he kept working with them, doing signs and wonders and miracles to confirm the message that they were telling was the truth. To confirm to those people what they're saying to me is the truth. How's that look? Well, Philip, I wanted to read you something real quick out of Acts chapter 8. I want you to see here. They went and told about him, and he made sure there was plenty of evidence in their life and when they, what they're with them, that everybody that they told about him, they believed. I love this portion in Acts chapter 8. He says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. What did he preach? He preached what I just told you. You got the message? You know what the message is now? You know the gospel? What the good news is? It's not that, oh, God loves you. He does love you, and that's a benefit of it. But the good news is he sent Jesus for you to get you back. You with me? Says he went everywhere, went down there and preached Jesus to them. Says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lamed were healed, and there was great joy in that city. It goes on here and tells about a guy named Simon. He was a sorcerer. And it says about him here, he said that the people thought this man has great power from God. This is the sorcerer. He was doing sorcery and doing all these signs, wonders, and it says, and they heeded to him because he astonished them with all the sorceries that he had done. And he had done that for a long time. But it says when he saw Philip, When he saw the real thing, when he saw the real deal, it says that everybody started getting baptized, and it says Simon himself also believed and got baptized. And it says he went with Philip because he was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which had been done. Folks, it's time for people to see the real thing. Let me read you something else out of John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, everybody say, no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, that's the message. Jesus isn't a way. Jesus is the way. And if the people in your life and in my life don't know that, it's because we didn't tell them. No one goes to the Father. No one gets there except through me. And if you believe in me, you can get there. Well, then he goes on down here. He said, most assuredly I say to you, if you believe, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. I'm telling you, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I'm telling you, I'll do it. So the Father can be glorified in the Son. I'm telling you, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I'll do it. What's he talking about asking? I want to put all this together here. He's talking about asking that you can do the same things that he did and greater things than these. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let me read you Mark again, 16 again. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody okay? Look at the person next to you and say, I'm okay. I just look this way. Okay. And preach the gospel to every creature, every person. I preach it to my dog too. But anyway, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many believe? How many here are believers? Okay, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. How many believers we got here? Okay. Who's responsible for the signs? You? No, he is. He is. He just said, go tell them the message. Getting ahead of myself. He said, these signs, he said, in my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take up, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And it says, so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere. They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Now, he went to heaven and the folks went out. What did Jesus do when he went to heaven? They went out and preached. They went out and told people about Jesus. They didn't just go tell them, come to church. They didn't just go tell them, hey, you ought to try this or that. You know, no, they went out and told them about Jesus. And what did he do? He worked with them and confirmed the message. Now, I'm taking a little time on this. He went with them and confirmed it. He caused signs and wonders and miracles to happen so that the people he was talking to would believe the message that was being told to them. Well, so what were the signs and miracles that he was doing, that they were doing? Well, it has to be what he just got through telling them they'd do. See, now some of you have read this for 30 and 40 years, and it's never registered that he's talking about you going out. He says they'll cast out devils. Now I want to put this down where we can understand it, okay? Did you know behind every bit of trouble you have, there is demon activity, there's a devil? Do you know every bad thing that's happening, all the evil in the world behind that is the enemy, the devil? He's at the root of that thing. He causes us to do stuff in response to his stuff. And as you walk out to people and you see them being tormented, you see them being, I prayed with a lady this morning that was having trouble. And I just prayed and I said, you know, devil, you can't stay in her life. Get away from her in Jesus' name. You can't operate here. Get away from her. What I want you to see is this means, he says you'll cast out devils. It means you'll drive them out. You will deprive them of their power. You will expel them. You'll command and cause them to depart. Now, whenever what I'm talking about here isn't, you know, you might not ever in your life see somebody that when you talk to them, their head starts spinning around and they get that look in their eyes. And you go looking for the cross to hold a cross up. But everybody that you talk to, every bit of problems that they're having, the enemy's at the root of it. Devils are at the root of it. Are you with me? And you have authority over that. Not because you're strong, not even because you're doing everything right. You're doing it because he already made a show of them. He already humiliated them. He already disarmed them. You with me? You with me? Now don't turn me off. He said, everybody, you can help them. You don't have to have an exorcist service. You don't have to draw attention to you. But under your breath, you can go, devil, you're a sorry liar, and you can't keep holding this person down. You can't keep operating in their life, and I take authority over you for them in Jesus' name right now, and I'm telling you, get out. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You can say that, and they don't even have to know you said it. Are you with me? He says you'll cast out devils. He said you'll speak with new tongues or with different kinds of tongues. What it actually says. On the day of Pentecost, a sign when the Holy Ghost was come, a sign was they spoke in tongues. That was how they knew that the Holy Spirit had came. One of the ways. That was a sign and wonder. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this word tongue means a language or a dialect used by a person different from any other nation. In other words, it's a language that nobody knows. Now, in the day of Pentecost, and we'll get to that in a minute, they came out, they spoke with tongues, and that's how they knew. Everybody knew they were all talking in their own languages, and everybody knew these people didn't know their language, and they were talking about it. Or they were talking about Jesus in this new language. But what I want you to understand is this is a language or a dialect that's not known by any other nation. See, this is a language or a dialect that only God knows. What I'm talking to you about is there's different kinds. There's kinds of tongues that you give a message in a service. There's kinds of tongues that these people in Acts saw when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But Paul also talks about a tongues that brings you into an intimacy with the Father that you can't get there any other way. A supernatural communication. Now let me ask you something. We talked about this a while back, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit some more in the real close future here. But it's kind of like the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit utters things in a language we don't know, and so when we utter those languages, we don't know what it is either. And so it's kind of like our spirit's communicating with God's spirit, and in the process of that, He downloads things into our spirit. How many think if God would download some things into your spirit, you might be able to walk a little taller and bounce a little higher, and you might even be able to smile, I'm not trying to take too much time here because I need to get on with this. But can you imagine this now? Can you imagine when I come up on you and I start talking to you and I start telling you about Jesus? I have a supernatural relationship with my Father. He can show me through this supernatural communication or through the gifts of the Spirit. But He can show me what your problem is. He can show me and cause me to say the things that I need to say. He can cause me to do the things that you need. Does that make sense? The other day, one of the men at the funeral, he got saved and he was talking to me afterwards. And he said, man, he said, this was supposed to happen. He said, this was unreal. He said, the things that I was talking to God about, you said them. You gave me the answers. Well, I wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. No, I don't even want to take credit for that. But I want you to see these signs, because when we get done, you're going to know that these signs work through you every day. Are you with me? They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. Now, I'm sorry, if you like to handle snakes, go ahead. But that's not what he's talking about. Serpents, here the word serpent means devils, demons, messengers, and ministers of the devil. The serpents here are the third of the angels that fell with Satan when he fell. They're the tormentors. Are you with me? They're the ones that are at the root of your problems. He says you'll take them up. That word take them up means you'll move them from their place. It means you'll remove them or you'll cause them to cease. In other words, what he's saying is here, you can handle any tactic the enemy has. Oh, pastor, would you pray for me? I'm getting ready to go see so-and-so, and I don't know if they're saved, and I don't know what to do. You don't have to. Do you know the message? Do you know what to tell them? Then you just go and let God do the rest. He'll show you the devils that are holding them back, the devils that are tormenting you, them, and you can take authority over them. You pray in the Spirit on the way over there in that supernatural communication. You'll say what you're supposed to say in spite of yourself. And even if you say the wrong thing, it won't matter. Why? Because He's doing the work. And anything He does, you'll be able to handle. Any trick He tries, you'll be able to have. Just smile. Huh? I mean, I've seen some tricks. When I've been trying to lead people to the Lord, I've seen some tricks. And I've learned to just back off and just smile. And in my mind, I go, you ain't winning this one. Huh? Had a lady screaming at me one time. I don't want that, Jesus. I don't want that. And I just backed up and I just smiled. And I just went, go ahead and get it out of your system, devil, because when you get done, I'm leading her to the Lord. And she yelled and she screamed and she yelled and she screamed. And when she finally got tired, I led her to the Lord. Well, we got to move on with this. Drink any deadly thing? Now listen, I'll say if you happen to drink poison or eat something by accident, I just believe God deliver you. But this is talking about a different kind of intake here. This is referring to an intake into your soul, into your mind. How many of you know we're bombarded with poison? We're bombarded with deadly things. We're getting deadly things reported from the doctors. We're getting deadly things reported from the news media. We're getting dead every place we turn, our friends. We're telling each other deadly things. They can't hurt you. Huh? They can't hurt you unless you give audience to it and then put action to it. Now, I'm talking about signs that follow us. We've had all this stuff, this mystical stuff going on in our head too long. It's time for us to get out here on the pavement and make a difference in some people's lives. I've declared war, if you couldn't tell. Everything that has to do with death and stuff that's coming at us, it can't hurt you if you don't let it. And then he says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Folks, how many ever have anybody come and say, yeah, I've been sick and I've been this. And you know what we usually do? We usually start comparing what's been happening to us with them. I was listening to two ladies in the Walmarts here a while back, and I didn't know them, but they one of them started telling about all the medicine that they was taking and all the stuff that was wrong with them. And that other lady looked at her like, well, you're not going to get the best of me. And then she started telling her all the stuff she is taking and all the stuff that's wrong with her. And I sat there for about 3 minutes and I was almost sick. I had to get away from there. Hey, when you go up on somebody and they say, man, I haven't been feeling good, man, won't you just lay hands on them? Huh? He didn't say call a prayer meeting. He didn't say stop the world, I'm getting ready to lay hands on you. No. I go through the crowd and people say that and I just lay my hand on them and I'm thinking, you said I lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So whether they know it or not, they're recovering. Yeah, I'd say hallelujah. Now don't y'all shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Where's the power? I'm tired of being impressed by people's intellects. I'm tired of listening to messages that impress me because they know so much. Huh? I'm ready to hear somebody just get down in the dirt and just say, hey, this is the way it is. And what the world out here is waiting to hear is they're just waiting for somebody to get down and tell them who Jesus really is. What really happens when you die? Well, I don't know if I could do that. You will. Where's the power? What did Jesus say when he got ready to leave? Another thing he said in Acts 1:8, he said, "But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, I can't do nothing about those other two or three, the first two or three places, but I can handle that to the end of the earth part. So I ask you, where's the power to be a witness? And I'm not just talking about being able to speak boldly. I'm talking about, where's the power? Where's the signs? Where's the wonders? Where's the miracles that are happening? Well, what happened when the Holy Spirit came? We talked about it, and I won't take a long time on it, but when the Holy Spirit came, they all came down out of the upper room, and they were all talking in tongues. It was a sign, because they were all talking in everybody's language that was there, languages they didn't even know. And these people were out on the street, and they were hearing about Jesus in a language, and they said, "Well, how does that person know how to talk my language?" It says everybody was speaking with tongues, and says they all marveled. So Peter told them about Jesus. And 3,000 got saved. Are you getting it? The signs and wonders made them all marvel. So Jesus told them about, or so Peter told them about Jesus. You didn't get that in the back. The signs and wonders were happening, and they all marveled. They were all astonished. So Peter told them about Jesus. And 3,000 of them got saved. What we like to do is have a exhibition down here and have all the signs and wonders, but we never get around to telling them about Jesus. And we walk out here going, "Whoo, did you see the pastor when he laid hands on that person? And did you see what happened? They came out of that wheelchair. Did you see, man, they straightened that crooked back up. Did you see? He couldn't walk." And no, you're supposed to say, "Hey, it's because of the name of Jesus. Now that I got your attention, let me tell you about Jesus. He went to the cross for you, and he died. He paid for your sins, and he went down into hell and took your place. And after he defeated the devil, God raised him from the dead. And because he lives, you can live." Well, a sign got their attention, and Peter told them about Jesus. Huh? In the second chapter, it says this. The second chapter, in fact, it just says, I just jotted a few down. Just stay with me a minute. It says, "Then fear came on everyone, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles." It goes on to say that people began to believe, and the church grew, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were getting saved. Signs and wonders got their attention. Then somebody told them about Jesus, and the church grew. Isn't that amazing? I sat in a meeting the other day with people preachers trying to talk about how to make their church grow, and not one of them said, "Get somebody saved." I didn't feel it was my place to correct them, because I was a guest, so I just walked out shaking my head. It says, in the third chapter, it says that there was a man sitting at the gate. And y'all all know the story. He was lame, and it says Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him, and then Peter told him about Jesus. The man got healed, and everybody started going, "Boo, boy, look what Peter did." And Peter said, hold it, don't look on me. He said, it was through his name that this man was made whole. It says, because of the power that accompanied them, people were filled with wonder and amazement because of what had happened to them. It goes on in the fourth chapter and talks about the place being shaken. Y'all all know the story. Peter gets let out of jail, and they tell him, "We're letting you out, but don't you talk about this Jesus anymore." And so he gets out and he goes back to the thing and this is what he prays. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31 says, after they prayed, said the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And it goes on to say that many believed, and that 5,000 men were added to the church. Man, I just need one of you guys to start doing that. Huh? We'd have to put a balcony in here if just one of y'all start doing that. Anybody want to be the one? Don't raise your hand. Just tell God you want to be the one. And ladies, I'm not leaving you out. Matter of fact, you probably do a better job than most of us guys. Anyway, it goes on and it says, with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. In the fifth chapter it says, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And it was so much, so powerful that people were bringing the sick people out into the streets and laying them there just so Peter's shadow would fall on them and they'd get healed. It said multitudes came. Multitudes of sick and tormented with unclean spirits came, and they were all healed. We could go on and on and on, but what I want you to see is signs and wonders are the supernatural advertisement of Jesus. Signs and wonders happen, and that's when you tell them about Jesus. See, we want to get you saved first, and then God will do big things in your life. I heard somebody use this illustration. I thought it was kind of cute. It's kind of like we're standing up there, and they're the house is on fire, and we're looking up this apartment, and we're looking up there, and we look up and we go, well, what, were you smoking in bed? No, tell them, jump. We'll worry about the smoking in bed later. If you get your heart right, God will move in your life. No, he'll move in your life, and then you'll get your heart right. See, somebody, and you're saved, that you've been believing God, but you've just been kind of pushing away because you're not living everything that you think you're supposed to live, and you're not, and you never will. You'll never, if you got that bar set, you'll never live up to it. But the Bible says that the goodness of God will draw us to him. I don't know about you, but when he does something big in my life, it doesn't make me want to backslide. It makes me want to get closer, man. You alive? No wonder these poor people out here aren't getting saved. We're beating them up. Tell them you're going to go to hell for doing that. Well, why don't you tell them how to miss hell? Then they'll want to start changing all that. I want you to see this. I want you to understand. We're not going to go any further with that, but I want you to see that signs and wonders. Jesus came and God did signs and wonders through him so that everybody would know that he represented the Father. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe me at least for what you're seeing. Jesus left and he said, the same thing will happen to you, Hank, if you believe. I'll do signs and wonders so that everybody will know that the one that you're telling them about is real. Now go tell them about me. Quit worrying about his end. Let's just worry about our end. Well, I'm going to start all the way back. Let's go back to Mark. No. Paul said something in Timothy, second letter to Timothy. He talked about the last days. And one of the things he said about the men in the last days, or the people in the last days, he says, they'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power. I want to ask you a question. Is that you? Is that you? You want to know why people aren't running to the Lord? Because we're not walking and believing Him for His power to operate in their lives. We're not showing people the power. There's no power being exhibited in our life. I mean, the unsaved people talk to most of us and they walk away thinking, well, I got a pretty good deal. I'm not, at least I don't have it that bad. You with me? Huh? You know how you talk to your family and friends, and especially when you're down in the dumps and you're not feeling good. Let me. I was asking God. I said, God, I just need an illustration of how this works, not just Bible scriptures, but I mean, and He reminded me of something that happened in the 70s. And I want to tell this quick, but He reminded me of something that happened in the 70s. We were here, and it was a Wednesday night, and we had a service, and back then when it was church time, you knew you were supposed to go to service, you were supposed to be there, you know, like y'all are today. And a family from Baxter Springs called me. They had a son that wasn't saved. He was on drugs. And he had had a motorcycle wreck. And they thought he was in bad shape. They thought he was going to die. They called the church here and got me, and I answered the phone up in the lobby. And they said, Hank, they didn't call the doctor. They didn't take him to the hospital. They called me. And I'm just young. I just not even dry behind the ears yet. I don't know no different than you know, what this says. It says it must work. I don't know. It took me 40 years to let religion talk me out of what this book says. But now I'm going back, picking up my purse, okay? But anyway, let me get this done because I need to finish this up here. But they called me and said, would you come over? So-and-so's had a wreck. And so, man, I jump in the car and I go over there. I get there. Here's this kid, long hair, doped up, been smoking pot. He had a motorcycle wreck. And his arm, you know how your arm bends here? His arm bent here. This bone was broken. It wasn't through the skin, but it was broken. And you could see, you could feel it. And he was crying, and he said, Hank, I just got a job, and I'm going to lose my job now. And he had a job, was working at this place, and he was running a hand grinder and grinding walls. And he said, I'm going to lose my job now. And the parents, they're all shook up because it's the first job he's had in forever, and they don't want him to lose the job. And anyway, all this is going on, and I walk in, and I just look at him, and I don't even remember what his name was now. I remember the family's name, but I just walk in, and I just said, hey, called him by name. I said, it's okay. Settle down. He said, yeah, but I'm not going to be able to work and my arm's broke and all this and that. And I said, hey, I said, God's going to take care of this because He loves you. And I reached over and I grabbed him by the arm and I felt that bone in the palm of my hand. And I just looked at him. I said, now God's going to heal your arm because He loves you. And He wants you to be saved. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why'd you say that? Huh? Why did you say that? Man, the pressure's on now. And I'm just going. I'm just talking away. I'm saying, He's going to heal this arm because He loves you. And He wants you to be saved. And when I said that, I said, in Jesus' name. And that bone hit the palm of my hand and his arm went back and it was healed. And he had a little knot there. And I said, now, I said, you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Yes, yes. Got him saved. Then he started again. He said, I'm not going to be able to work. I said, no. I said, you're going to be able to work tomorrow. God's going to see to it. You know, the next day he was doing that grinder? But here's the thing. For years, I told that story and I talked about the miracle. But the miracle wasn't the big deal. The big deal was the kid got saved. How you like God to remind you of something from 40-something years ago and you're repenting? 40 years later for it, you know. Well, what happened when the 70 went out? They went out and, man, they came back going, whoo, all the stuff that was happening, God. Jesus, you can't believe all the stuff that's happening. Even the devils were running from us. What did Jesus say? He said, ho, 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 the devil's no big deal. Don't be all excited because the devil, you had authority over him. I gave you that authority. Don't be all excited about that. He said, be excited because your name's written in the book of heaven. Signs, listen to this now. Signs and wonder. Oh, I'm going to tell you one more. It's the best illustration of what I've been saying today. Mardell's not back yet. She's on her way back from Texas. She texted me yesterday morning. She said, I'm going to Dallas this afternoon to see my nephew who's dying and he's probably not saved. Will you pray with me? And I text her back now. I said, yes, I'll pray with her, with you. But I said, just tell him how. Just tell him how. You know somebody that's not saved? Well, just tell them how to be saved. You don't have to save them. You just got to tell them. Anyway, this is what she texted me this morning. She said, it went well. Holy Spirit was before, around, and in. I believe Eric is saved. Said he wanted to ask me how. Many miracles. And he said, then she tells him where they're in Oklahoma and they're back. She'll be here by tonight. And if you're there, you'll probably hear that testimony. Okay? What happened? Signs and wonders get people's attention. And then you tell them about Jesus. Can I say this? Signs and wonders don't have to be a broken arm healing in your arm, in your hand. A sign and wonder doesn't have to be somebody getting out of a wheelchair. It's going to be for some of us. But that doesn't have, a sign and wonder can be whatever God wants it to be. That's not your end. A sign and wonder, Jimmy, a sign and wonder, if I'm telling you about Jesus, a sign and wonder is anything that you need to get your attention and get you saved. That's what God wants to do. So he says, Hank, will you just tell the sign? Will you just tell them, just tell the message? I'll take care of the rest. But see, we've got this stuff so mystified and so spooky that we just read this stuff in here and it just goes over. And like, yeah, well, that's what they did in those days. Folks, those days never quit. We're the ones that quit. God didn't quit. And it's supposed to be more than having a service and having a bunch of signs and wonders so everybody can see and walk out of here talking. It's supposed to accompany us in our life every day. Stuff we're having. Everybody you see has a problem. Everybody you see has a need. Everybody you see, God wants to touch their life. And you're the vehicle. You're the facilitator. But I like what the Lord told me the other day. He said, Hank said, you are the facilitator. You're the conduit. You're the avenue that I want to flow through. But you need to remember, above anything else, you're just a participant. Huh? See, Father, what is your will here? What do I need to do here, God? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want here? Let me fit into your plan today, Lord. Hey, it might be big. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see people touched. But remember, those signs follow you, and the sign part is His. It's not yours. Don't try to do His end. Just tell them about Jesus. Well, how do we get started? See that those signs and wonders will happen in your life, and they do happen, but you don't see them. Because you're not thinking about them and you're not paying attention to them. And as you're thinking about this, as I've been talking, almost everybody in here has been thinking about, well, yeah, I remember that time when this happened and that happened. I remember that. If you'll start paying attention, you will see that in your life every day. Everybody you see, God wants to touch their life. He doesn't want to make you a superstar. He wants to make His Son Jesus so His Son Jesus will be glorified. Huh? Well, how do we get started, Hank? Well, what did Jesus say when He said you'll be able to do these things? He said, ask. I've read that verse for 44 years, and I'd read that verse, you'll be able to do greater things than these will you be able to do. Whatever you desire, ask. I'd say, okay, give me a new car. What's He talking about? He's talking about the power of God working. Ask me. Ask me to let it work. Ask me for these greater things. Ask me to manifest myself. I'll do it. Well, don't look so shocked. Well, what did Peter and them do? Let's look at that again. Where's Acts? What did Peter pray? What did he ask? He said, Lord, look at what they're threatening us and grant to us your servants with all boldness that we'd be able to speak your word. And do it by stretching forth your hand to heal. And let those signs and wonders be done through your name, the name of your holy servant Jesus. Whatever you ask. Well, so the first thing is just ask. Let me tell you what to ask. Just pray this. Lord, I pray that you'll let me speak your word with boldness. And as I do that, Lord, I'm asking you to stretch out your hand and heal. And I'm asking you that through your mighty name, Jesus, that signs and wonders and miracles will happen. Is that hard? See, that didn't tell you to have to do anything but just ask. Everybody say this prayer with me. Lord, I pray. Everybody say this prayer with me. Lord, I say it even if you don't want it. Say it. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to speak your word with boldness. And as I do, I ask you to stretch out your hand and heal. As I speak your word, as I tell about Jesus, I ask that through your mighty name, Jesus, signs and wonders and miracles will be done. Ask. Ask. And then just believe. What would happen if we would all get up in the morning, or let's just don't put it off till morning, let's just walk out of here today thinking, everybody I see, you sick? I'm getting ready to lay this sucker on you. Everybody I see, God wants to touch their life. Lord, use me. If you pray in tongues, just start praying in the Spirit. And He'll start downloading things into you and show you things to do. What would happen if we walked out of here today with the confidence, really believing that God would do something through us? And you know what I'm learning? The more He does through you, really the littler you feel. You don't feel like a Superman. You just feel like you're in awe. Ah, because of what He did. You with me? Whew, glory to God. So, believe. Ask. Ask. Believe. Trust. Act on it. Expect something to happen. You ought to start walking. Everybody you see, if they express a need to you, don't tell them, well, I'll get you on the prayer list. Well, if you'll just ask God, He'd help you with that. No, everybody that expresses a need to you, just say, would you mind if I prayed with you for a minute? And just pray. If they're sick, just say, Lord, I'm just asking you to touch them in their body and heal them. If they're having trouble with their marriage, just say, God, I'm asking you to do something that only you can do, or do a miracle in their marriage. If they're just emotionally this or that, say, God, I'm just asking you to help them. Take time to pray. God's put them in your path for a reason. Now, let me tell you what God told me one time. He said, pray for everybody like that. I'm still working on it. I still forget to. Okay? But he said, the main reason is, he says, I'm always doing good. I'm always bringing things into everybody's life. I'm always doing good for everybody, but I don't ever get the credit for it. And I was praying for somebody to be healed. And he said, I'm going to touch them, but if you didn't pray for them, they would think, well, yeah, it just went away. But the fact that you prayed, the fact that I prayed, when that thing changed, they went, wow, I remember he prayed. Thank you, God. Does that make sense? He's going to meet the needs. But we got to get the attention focused on him. Well, I got all kinds of notes here, but no, and know the plan. Huh? Man, know how to close the sale. Huh? Man, I used to sell cars, and man, whenever you saw the person was ready to buy the car, you didn't start telling them again how good the car was. You said, come in here, I want you to sign this. Hear what I'm saying? Know how to close the sale. Know the plan. What's the plan? If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I prayed that at that funeral the other day, and one lady came and said, would you write those words down? Write those down so I can say them with people? And she just got saved. I said, well, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to say those exact words. She said, no, I want those exact words. Man, know the plan. But I want you to walk out of here knowing, man, listen, I'm an ambassador for God. Huh? You don't have to be anything special. You're special to him. I can help somebody. Lord, you put the people, don't put the people in my path that I can't do nothing about, but the ones you put in my path, I'm going to believe that I can do something or say something or do something that'll help them. And I'm just believing you to do big things in their life when I tell them about Jesus, so they'll know I'm telling them the truth. Does that make sense? Well, how many willing to at least start thinking about that? Well, if we talk about it and we start thinking about it, I want to ask you this. Is everybody in here saved? Everybody shut your eyes. How many in here saved? And you know it. You're going to heaven. Okay. Put them down. Nobody be looking. How many here don't know you're saved? If you died right now, you don't know for sure. Wait a minute. How many in here are saved? Raise your hand. Okay, now put them down. Now how many aren't saved? Some of you aren't voting either way. You think that's going to slip you in? Let me ask you this. If you're not saved, what would he have to do? What would he have to do to get your attention? What would God have to do right now to get you to ask him into your heart? See, now do you feel that inside of you right there? Do you feel that? That's him touching you. You say, well, how do you know that, Hank? I know that because that's a sign. That's a wonder he's doing in your heart right now. Right now. I want everybody to stand. And we're going to sing a song. And if you're here and you'd like to pray this prayer with one of us and like to be saved, I'm going to ask you just to come on down. Maybe you just want to rededicate yourself. Maybe you're here today and you want to get baptized in water. We got robes, towels, everything you need. But let's all just sing and praise and worship God. But if you're here today and you're not right, something in you, and you know something in you, you don't know for sure. If you died right now, you'd go be with God. If that's you, come on down. We want to pray with you. Do you need to come? Do you need to come? If you need to come, hurry. We're not going to prolong this. What would he have to do to get you to say yes? He's already touching your heart. You already feel him in there. He's saying, will you just come to me and give me a chance? I want to do some big things. I want to straighten some of these things out in your life. I want to help you with these. Will you come and just give me your life? Will you just give me your heart? Who else? Come on. That's you. Come on. And if you'd hurry up and come, we could all go to lunch or quicker. Hey, God loves you. He loves you, and He doesn't want you to miss heaven. He wants you to be with Him forever. Sing one more verse. If you don't know, come on down. If you don't know for sure, come on down. Doug, go pray over there. Pray with them. I don't know what they need, but pray with them. Hurry, you gonna come? Just come. Hurry. He's already touching you in here. He's drawing you. That's all He can do. You have to say yes. One more verse. This is the last verse. So I wish you'd quit, preacher, if you'd come on down. I would. Hey, God loves you. This isn't a game. It isn't a gimmick. I just want you to respond to what He's telling you in your heart right now. He's saying, just give me a chance. Give me a chance. Everybody bow your head. There's four people in here that don't know they're saved. If you're one of them, I want you to say this prayer out loud. And to help you, we're going to all say it with you. And if you'll say this and mean it, something will happen inside of you. Everybody with me, pray this prayer. Jesus. Everybody with me, pray this prayer. Jesus. Everybody in here, pray this prayer with me. I'll get it right. Jesus. I want to be saved. You died on a cross for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. Don't get weak on me now. I want to live for you. Save me right now. I give you my life. I want to live for you. But I need your help. So right now, thank you for saving me. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, does everybody in here know the message? Huh? Does everybody in here know that when you go and tell the message, God, the Holy Spirit's going to be working with you. He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure they hear the message, okay? Okay? Hey, I'm excited to hear some of these stories that are going to start happening. Hey, I speak God's goodness into you and His blessing into you. And I believe you to have a great day and a great week. I'm believing Him to do big things in your life. And I'm believing Him to pull us all closer to Him than we've ever been before. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you think something happened in you, come on down here. We want to give you some information. Hey, I love you. You have a great day. If you can come hear Steve tonight, you'll be glad you did. Love you. See you next time.